Again, thanks very much, Clark and Kathleen, for coming into KABU and telling us all about the new book and the Bonnie and Clyde series.
It's always a pleasure. We'll come back anytime. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ken.
We've been talking with Portland-based writing couple Clark Hayes and Kathleen McFall about their new book, Bonnie and Clyde, Radioactive, the third volume, possibly not the last, in their Bonnie and Clyde trilogy. You can learn more about Clark and Kathleen and their books online at pumpjackpress.com. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.
Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Development Committee will meet the first Wednesday of each month at 4:30 p.m.
Tune in to KABU on July 4th through the 7th for a live broadcast from the 32nd Annual Waterfront Blues Festival. We'll start the broadcast from the Waterfront Blues Festival on Thursday, July 4th at noon, and broadcast the fest every day from noon through 10 p.m. Again, that's the Waterfront Blues Festival, the largest celebration of blues, soul, funk, and rhythm and blues west of the Mississippi, July 4th through the 7th from noon to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Development Committee will meet the first Wednesday of each month at 4:30 p.m.
Tune in to KABU on July 4th through the 7th for a live broadcast from the 32nd Annual Waterfront Blues Festival. We'll start the broadcast from the Waterfront Blues Festival on Thursday, July 4th at noon, and broadcast the fest every day from noon through 10 p.m. Again, that's the Waterfront Blues Festival, the largest celebration of blues, soul, funk, and rhythm and blues west of the Mississippi, July 4th through the 7th from noon to 10 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Before we get started with our show, I'd like to let our listeners know that we've had a program change. Originally, we were going to talk tonight about the interactive things that were happening with the redefining Alberta Street. That show has been postponed. Tonight we have another show. Tonight we have a show regarding the AFL-CIO and the University of Oregon Labor Education Research Center Summer School. It's happening this year, 2019. But I forgot to tell you, my name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Retirees Union, and I'm the current president of the Coalition of Black Trades Union.
Good afternoon, Portland. This is Deborah Hall with the American Federation of Teachers here in Oregon. I'm the current secretary treasurer for the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists here in Oregon. Thanks for joining our show.
And I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell, the Vice President of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unions and retired from the International Staff of the UAW and the President of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
So tonight, our segment, as I said, we're going to focus on the Oregon AFL-CIO and the University of Oregon Labor Education Research Center 2019 Summer School. Our guest tonight is Sherman Henry. He is a faculty coordinator at the University of Oregon. Welcome, brother.
Thank you, Tina.
So, talk to us about this summer school this year. What's up?
Well, this year our theme is Awakening and Unifying an Intergenerational Labor Movement. It's from August 2nd through the 4th, 2019, at the Oregon University of Oregon Eugene campus.
So when I looked at the application and the flyer, it looks like this curriculum is a little bit different than what I've seen in the past. What's up with that?
Sure. We're trying to kind of bridge the gap between new workers and veteran workers in the workforce. And we're trying to create a curriculum that unifies and awakens folks, particularly as we think about the whole Red for Ed movement. We think about now what's going on in the private sector with building trades. So we're now trying to just bridge that gap and have a real conversation about post-millennials, millennials, baby boomers, and everybody in between.
I see. So it seems like you're trying to bring more people to the table and also trying to expand on the people who normally go to these labor education summer schools. Is that about right?
That's about right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Partly because, as you know, we're having all kind of challenges in the state right now as it relates to labor rights. So we think it's worthy of a conversation between our generation and those who labor in the workforce to kind of make sure that they now have a comprehensive way to kind of look at what was done 50 years ago and what's now a 2019 issue.
Okay, so talk to me about this focus on millennial workers.
Well, again, we want to talk about internal organizing. We want to talk about building power. And there's always a conversation among veterans about whether or not they understand the millennials and what the millennials want.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're saying let's all come together and have a conversation about what we all need and unify as it relates to benefit, wages, and how we communicate. And clearly we understand that not everybody is coming to one job anymore, working 30, 40 years. So all of these different paradigms is what we have to talk about to build a stronger and viable labor movement here in Oregon.
Sherman, thanks for being here with us on the show. And a question I have and an interest, it seems to me that what I do love about the millennial generation is they seem more wanting to be together, more togetherness and in smaller groups of people. And I'm excited because I think we're going to get some good organizing ideas and, you know, more people to talk to and a more kind of an open situation, whereas not so paired off as this group of workers versus this group of workers, but just people talking to people.
Sure. That's the idea. That we're all workers from different aspects of life, and we all want to have a quality of life, earn decent wages. So, yeah, we definitely want to have a conversation about how it has changed over the years and what we need to do now to accommodate a greater pool of activists.
Okay, Sherm. You've been talking about the older workers, who I am. After 40, 40 or 50 years in the union movement. But I'm so glad this is an opportunity that we can hear from the younger generation. And I just hope during this program that there is a time for open discussion about the past, the current and the present, and the future.
Sure.
And I'm sure during that time, those 2 or 3 days, that we can have that because, you know, I know a lot of times youth can come in and just push us to the side, but they need to learn from what we did wrong in the past. It didn't work because a lot of this is flowing over to them, what we said and did not do. So that's one subject area that I was hoping that we pretty much cover in the summer school this year.
Well, one of the things that we don't want folks to believe that this is about throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about. I'm so happy about that.
So we're talking about courses like building inclusive unions through mentoring and allyship.
Oh, good.
We're talking about facing sexual harassment and microaggressions in the workplace. What are some of the tools and tactics workers can use to kind of mitigate those circumstances. Mm-hmm. We're talking about building bridges, not walls, unions and immigration. We're talking about more bread and butter bargaining for the common good with an expanded view on equity and inclusion and how we're dealing with this intergenerational movement. Mm-hmm. And particularly, as some of you all know, we just got through with a LGBTQ summit.
Right.
And we had over 80 activists there. So the workforce is changing. How yes. people identify is changing. So we want to kind of build a movement that is really in the spirit of solidarity.
Mm-hmm. There's one other area that of major concern to me is women in leadership. How that is supported, encouraged, trained, whatever, you know, our summer school can offer to encourage women in leadership. I wrote my dissertation on that, and that was then. But I'm talking about now, women make a difference. And so, you know, I'm just looking forward to an opportunity to hear discussions on training women for leadership.
Well, again, definitely so. And as the population change, particularly in the building trades, right? We know that there's a significant amount of jobs and we don't have qualified tradespersons to fill those jobs. So we want to also have a conversation about that pipeline. How do we go from high school to career for mm-hmm. those who are not going to go to college? Mm-hmm. And so women definitely is part of the intersection of our discussions and one of the focal points on building an inclusive and intergenerational movement, because as we all know, that the workforce population is changing.
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah, it sounds really encouraging, because union jobs are honest jobs.
Yes.
But I think where we fall down sometimes is, you know, we have a mold already, and we keep relying on that same mold on how to bring people in. But as folks change, we need to change. And so that's what this sounds like. Sounds like these classes are designed to do that.
Yeah, it's to take a hard look at what we do good and what we can improve on.
Sure.
And who we are now going to be representing and what is the permanent interest, right? There's this whole saying that there's no permanent friends,
sure.
no permanent enemies, but permanent uh-huh. interest. So as we think about what's going to happen in the future workforce, we definitely want to give people the tools to kind of function on information, critical thinking that they may not have had in their previous workforce, right? So we know union density is not as high in certain markets as sure. it should be.
Sure.
So folks just need the opportunity to be trained and given the tools that they can now think about these global issues critically from a local base.
Okay, so you talked about building trades. Now I know that's not your forte in particular, but I believe this is the first that I've seen of a looking at building trades in depth as far as the summer school is concerned. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Well, again, so the answer is yes. And we just want to have a real conversation about building trades,
mm-hmm.
trades jobs, those students who are not going to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
How do we create a pipeline for them and not just have unorganized jobs, but mm-hmm. we want union jobs that pays better wages, benefits, etc. But we also want to talk about equity and inclusion as well. And
okay.
so having a significant conversation with them about these various apprenticeship programs, how do you get into apprenticeship programs,
mm-hmm.
what skills are needed to kind of become a good tradesperson, and how we kind of look at those generations or those populations who are not necessarily doing as well in the workforce, giving them the tools that they can compete for these jobs as well.
Brother Sherman, is on your agenda for the summer school, is there a youth gap fair opportunity? You know, sometimes we got to get into people's heads early, you know, 16, 17, 18, that, hey, you know, we push college on them, but most of our youth is not college material. But if you get it in mind, this is what's required. You need math. So is there a youth portion somewhere on there? Youth meaning, I don't know what your age group of attendance, because it is during summer school and a lot of youth is out of school. But I just was thinking, was there some particular time assigned to youth to listen and to encourage and share with them how good these union jobs are, and without a college debt,
right.
you know? You can really advance. That's a question I'd ask. I'm curious about that.
So the summer school is designed primarily for working adults, union members mm-hmm. and those community groups that we may do work with in the community. And so this is not for youth. Okay. However, there are other programs that groups like IBEW 48, mm-hmm. they work a lot with the groups. Donna Hammond,
yes.
Spearheads, kind of like those programs. But this particular program is specifically for those who are in the workforce currently and seeking leadership or want to become good worksite organizers, want to become good shop stewards.
Okay.
Thank you, Sherman. And so what I see this as an ability, well, as for someone who's been, working a union job for almost 30 years, it's going to hopefully give me some tools to go back and to be able to talk with the young people who I work with who perhaps aren't engaged in the union, and to be able to talk with them on a not from here's what happened in 1950 and it was the best thing ever, you know what I mean? Yeah. But to talk about things currently now. No. But
yes,
they're not, you know, yeah. So we don't want, you know, like we get tired of hearing stuff that grandmama did and all that stuff for relevancy now. And so, because we're going to be passing the torch, and I think it'd be very engaging to get them involved because they're the future. And so what do they want? What do they need out of this as well? And I see this as an opportunity to kind of bridge some of those conversations and give us some tools to be able to speak with younger folks about the union movement.
Sure. It's a way that we have to kind of sustain what has been great and now look at what has shifted and how do we now bring more folks into the fold. Like, you know, we just experienced the whole Red for Ed and that was a statewide movement. And so you had all kind of generations there. And so there was a lot of questions from those rallies or group meetings that now we seek to solidify in the classroom setting to give folks tools to critically think about, one, like public education and its effect on, as Dr. Terrell said, how folks function post-high school, right? And making sure that they have the kind of tools and the skills necessary to function in the real world.
So listen up. If I'd like to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Coalition of Black Trades Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guest tonight is Sherman Henry, who is a faculty coordinator at the University of Oregon. Our topic is the Oregon AFL-CIO and Labor Education Research Center 2019 Summer School Program. And so, again, the program seems to be a little different this time. We talked about it being intergenerational. It looks pretty enticing.
Thank you. Yeah, we put some thought into kind of creating a different space to kind of represent our democracy and to make it a more inclusive and welcoming space. And in the years past, we've done that as well, but now we're just trying to go into a specific aspect of what we kind of find through our other training programs, a new platform.
Okay. Well, we talked earlier about how the dynamics of the workforce has changed. And I'm going to use that naughty word, Janice, mm-hmm. Because that has also pointed out to us that we need to change.
Sure.
And so it sounds like your programming and the classes and workshops that you have may help us, give us the ability to do that.
Sure. It's interesting because I just had a conversation with delegates at the OSEA union, and we talked about post-Janice.
Mm-hmm.
And what is so amazing about the new energies that people find, and they are becoming more creative in their approach to engaging co-workers, right? And so Janice did not create the exodus that they had planned, but it started to create an environment where folks are more engaging and thinking critically about their own future, right? Why would some companies or some multi-billionaires want to just destroy unions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want people to think about these challenges in the abstract.
Gotcha.
We want to talk about what is the purpose of a union, what we do, and how we affect the community. And we've put out a report recently this year that talk about the $1 billion that we put into the Oregon economy based on union wages, right? Mm-hmm. So that allow us to kind of look at public works. It allow us to look at school funding differently. Sure. It allow us to look at buying houses and having a more efficient way, right, sure, for government to function, but more importantly, how people purchase more goods and services,
okay,
that stimulates the economy. So we don't want people to think about us in the abstract or some union in the distance. We want to talk about unionism as it relates to building communities where the folks who work day in and day out contribute to what is the beautification of this wonderful state.
Okay. All righty. I think you said earlier, you mentioned the phrase equity and inclusion.
Sure.
And it's my impression that that goes beyond the intergenerational piece of it. So how do you go about convincing our brothers and sisters in the union world to start sending more people who can help fulfill that gap?
Well, we know that research shows that when we have conversations about equity and inclusion, it encompasses everything that has been discussed here today. How we look at women's rights, how we mm-hmm. look at pay equity, right? Mm-hmm. The difference between women and men pay sometimes. Mm-hmm. How we look at diversity and how folks who identify differently are treated in the workplace. So it gets a little deeper.
Okay.
And as it relates to organized labor's role in shaping a kind of inclusive community and society.
Okay, so where you say deeper, I'm going to translate into tangible.
Okay.
Because I've been in the union workforce about 38 years.
Okay.
And I knew that the issues that I was concerned about, they got addressed because I was in the room.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But oftentimes what happens is so many people are not in the room.
That's the difference.
And so I love the fact that you're talking about not just layer one and layer two, that you're talking about a deeper dive, mm-hmm. because folks are not going to show interest if there's no tangibility. So
sure.
mm-hmm. word sure. up on the sure. on the new curriculum.
Yeah. And at some point we'll develop another framework that is about the sense of belonging, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other part of equity and inclusion. Folks need to feel inclusive, and they need to feel that the shared space that they are comfortable in it
right.
with being their authentic self. So, you know, this is just not research-driven. We want to have a conversation with folks who actually have these lived experiences and draw from those lessons on how do we shape public policy,
uh-huh.
how do we shape personnel policy, how do we get folks from human resources in the room and have a real conversation about what is becoming a very diverse Oregon,
sure.
and how we function in the workforce as one community, one goal.
Okay.
Brother Sherman, I know we have a union listening audience. So on our summer program that you have coming, is there some AFL leaders that'll be there to speak with us, or who do you have on your agenda for that?
Well, the opening night, there'll be a town hall meeting with Tom Chamberlain, who is the Oregon AFL-CIO president. And so Tom would have a Q&A session during the town hall meeting. And we'll have several other union leaders throughout the state, both from the private sector, the public sector.
Excellent. Good.
You know, and I hope that in addition to addressing the participants, I'm hoping that they're going to stick around and be a part of these programs and workshops that we're talking about. Because, again, change comes from the top, as in addition to coming from the bottom. And so, again, I'm very excited about this curriculum that we've been talking about.
Sure. And we'll have time for fun, right? We'll have casino night where folks will get a chance to kind of enjoy themselves. We'll have all kind of social events.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a picnic where a lot of the elected officials will probably come by.
Okay.
And I know there's a lot to talk about now.
Oh, yeah.
Recent development in the state. And so it's not just going to be books and pencils and critical thinking, but some socialization as well.
Here's a very important question. In years past, y'all had karaoke. Are we singing?
Probably not. But if you show up and you want to do a little Aretha Franklin or something, we'll give you a mic.
Well, you know. Now you need. I haven't heard this, but how do you sign up for this summer session?
Just go to our website, the University of Oregon Labor Education and Research Center, and sign up.
It's my impression that it fills up fast, so
yes.
Don't be sitting on your thumbs waiting, you know, because before you know it, classes are going to be filled.
Hopefully so.
Are retirees welcome?
Yeah, if you pay the registration
fee. Okay.
Yeah. Got to pay to play.
But give me that website again, one more time.
University of Oregon Labor Education and Research Center, LERC, and it'll take you to the front page and just follow the directions from there.
Well, all right. I like the idea of the creating a pipeline from high school to work. As we said earlier, not every young person is ready for college at this point. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a lack of interest, sometimes it's a lack of money. And so I like the idea of us trying to, pardon me, I just inserted myself, I'm sorry. I like the idea of the summer school, including these youth, mm-hmm. so that they understand and that they know that there's real money in working with your hands. It is not anything anyone should be ashamed of. And so, again, I applaud you guys for looking at that aspect, because, again, they just don't know.
Yeah, and so one of the things that we have to kind of think about as relates to the workforce is what Dr. King said many years ago, is that all labor has dignity. So whether or not you're a school bus driver, cafeteria worker, construction worker, professor, or a teacher, we want to make sure that through organized labor that workers have a shot at dignity, decent wages, equitable pay.
Right. These days it's kind of hard to find dignity in the work you do unless you are really hardcore at it. Sure. It's sad, but the employer doesn't see... They don't see the employees as being the most valuable assets anymore.
Sure, sure. So these conversations will help us figure out how to shape that message for generations that's coming behind us and those of us who believe that we have something to say worthy of them listening.
Okay. Well, brother, I'd like to thank you for being a part of our show. And I forgot to tell the audience, he's also a CBTU member, and so can you be also.
Yes.
Anyway. But thank you very much for coming and giving us an enlightened view of what the curriculum is going to be like. Like I said, it sounds pretty hot. And I'm hoping that even those union members that have gone before to sign up again, because this curriculum is much, much different than what you've seen in the past. Yes. Sister Audrey.
Yes, I'd just like to say that CBTU was actively involved in Juneteenth and the CBTU parade and festivities. We had a great time. Madam President was just made it all a good time. So I hope we get to be a part of it next year. But we really had a good time at Juneteenth and Good in the Hood festivities. I'd like to announce that the Coalition of Black Trade Unions meets the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employee William Lucy Building, located at 6025 East Burnside here in Portland. Join us on July the 9th. And also our email address, we can be contacted at orcbtu10@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, so join us in an evolving adventure of representing Black union workers.
Well, it's that witching hour. It's time for us to wrap up. And again, I'd like to thank you, Brother Sherman, for being a part of our show tonight and letting us know what's happening at the 2019 summer school.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me in.
We hope to be there.
Thank you, Sherman, for being there. And for those of you don't know who LERC is, go online and look up the Labor Education and Research through U of O, because I'm going to tell you, for in the years that I've been involved in the union and here I'm in Oregon, they provide such good information, helping unions with a myriad of problems with research. If you need some help, check them out and reach out to them.
Holla. Until next month.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Andre Gladden's six-month Angelversary on Saturday, July 6th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the intersection of Southeast 96th and Market Street in Portland. On January 6th, Andre Gladden, a 36-year-old black man who suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, was shot and killed by a Portland police officer who failed to use de-escalation techniques. Family from California will be coming up for the six-month anniversary memorial event. Again, that's the six-month anniversary of Andre Gladden on Saturday, July 6th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the intersection of Southeast 96th and Market Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven, natural foods cooperative open daily from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., featuring farm-direct organic produce from more than 30 local farms, bulk foods, and a weekly farmers market every Wednesday year-round. Located at Southeast Tibbett Street and 21st Avenue in Portland for almost 50 years, online at peoples.coop.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes